Serving Columbus for over 60 years. AM 1580, WVKO Columbus.
If you care as deeply as I do about progressive values, I need you to work as hard as you can between now and November 6th. First, vote. You can do it today, then make sure everyone you know votes too. If you want to do more, visit me at SherrodBrown.com to find out how. Our middle class has never needed progressives to stand up more than right now. I approve this message because I hope you'll help me answer the call.
Paid for by Friends of Sherrod Brown.
It's that time of year when all the creepies, ghoulies, and ghosties start coming out at night, and you get invited to a costume party. So whether you plan on rolling as a zombie or some other scary creature of the night, your one-stop shopping destination is Costume Holiday House. It's at 851 Bethel Road, near Olentangy River Road. Costume Holiday House is locally owned and open year-round for all your costuming needs. Planning on a costumed political event? Costume Holiday House has Barack Obama and Mitt Romney masks. Going to a party with your posse? Why not show up as the Avengers? Costume Holiday House has all the latest superhero costumes. See their entire inventory at CostumeHolidayHouse.com or call them at 451-0772 to reserve your costume now. Costume Holiday House, 851 Bethel Road. Call 451-0772.
Hi, this is Kenny Pick from Turn Up the Night. Be sure to check out my show every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk. If you tune in, you might hear something like this.
Not only do we have David Bender on with us, the regular gang here, but do I hear right that Stephanie Miller is on the line with us?
Oh, my.
I got to play an amen for this gathering, this love gathering right now. So, Stephanie, thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah. Well, listen, I just did, you know, I have one thing to say. Get the hell out and vote. Vote now. Do it.
And let me tell you guys, Ohio, we're getting tired of the attention. I mean, oh, my gosh.
Attention whore, Ohio. You know you want it. Look at the way you're dressed.
We put the hoe in Ohio.
That's Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk.
Your one true voice of reason in Central Ohio, AM 1580, WVKO, Columbus. Do you get anxious just thinking about going to the dentist? The Gentle Dentist in Worthington understands. Founded by Dr. Bill Coleman, the Gentle Dentist is dedicated to the care of the apprehensive dental patient and is committed to providing the highest quality dental care in a relaxed and enjoyable environment. The Gentle Dentist offers cable TV, DVD players, and massage chairs in every treatment room. They use the latest technology to give you that beautiful smile you deserve, including Invisalign, the virtually invisible way to straighten your teeth. The highest quality dental care in a relaxed and enjoyable environment. The Gentle Dentist, voted the number one dental office in Central Ohio by Columbus Parents Magazine. 2 years in a row. Visit them in Worthington, just south of 270. Call today, 614-431-3311. Or visit them online at ColemanDental.com. That's ColemanDental.com. Call today, 614-431-3311. The Gentle Dentist. Exceptional service, remarkably gentle.
Fresh is best, and you won't find fresher than San Filippo's fresh fruits and vegetables. It's open to the public Tuesday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Located at the historic Columbus Produce Market, 4561 East 5th Avenue in Bay 10 between Hamilton and Yearly. It's where you'll find fresh fruits and vegetables, cheese, brown Amish eggs, Greek and Italian olive oil, Joseph's gourmet pasta, and much more, including Ohio homegrown produce. So get the freshest of the fresh at San Filippo's Fresh Fruits and Vegetables.
It's time for Great Babylon Talk with Central Ohio's first GLBT-centric show, Radio Outlook. Join the chat by calling 614-821-1580. Now, here's your host, Chris Hayes.
Good morning. This is Radio Outlook. I am Chad Fry, and I am Columbus's leading Chris Hayes impersonator, which is a delight.
And I'm Snarky Peterson.
Did you say Snarky Peters?
Peterson.
Peters would almost seem to be some type of phallic thing, but regardless.
I'm Peter's son.
Peter, the son of Faust, apparently.
Yes, and the second best Chris Hayes impersonator in town.
Yes. Well, I mean, we vie for the same title on a yearly basis, and sometimes yes. You beat me.
But Chris Hayes is tardy.
Tardy. Which is...
He's banging the dashboard right now.
he's tardy for the party, like that woman from Real Housewives of Atlanta, if you're familiar, Mr. Allwood.
I am not.
Good, that's probably for the best. Oh, God, how was your week?
Hellish.
Oh, good, all the good news.
Yeah.
Well, but why?
I'm very tired. It's been a long week. I mean, you know, it started out Sunday with going, you know, basically a whole day. I was on C-SPAN early in the morning.
Are you bragging now?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying it was an early morning thing. I had to go up there, and then we did a live Turn Up the Night from the studio Sunday night because Kenny Pick and the crew were in town to go to the Ed Schultz event the next day.
Which was excellent, by the way.
So I went basically, a 12-hour day on Sunday following the Saturday, which is always a full day for me. And then on Monday, we had the event at JP's Barbecue at Bolton Field with Ed Schultz, which you attended.
I did.
And you know how busy I was there. So that was a pretty full day for me. And the rest of the week, I was just recovering. And I never caught up. And so I was here late last night. We had a football game on. So, you know, that's how it goes. I went home. And by the way, when I went home... Kenny wanted me to call in live to his Turn Up the Night program that's on the internet. So I spent an hour after I got home, after the football game on Turn Up the Night. And finally I said, Kenny, I literally just came in, and so I'm going to take off my shoes now, and so I'm going to say goodbye. So another full day for yesterday.
Well, I do have to tell you, the Ed Schultz event was excellent. For those of you who did not attend, he flew in on an MSNBC plane. Came out.
No, actually, that's his plane.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, he came in on his plane.
Yes.
With his lovely wife, and he spoke for about an hour. Actually, he spoke for a long time.
Yeah.
Took a lot of questions. A very knowledgeable, interesting guy. And for those of you who did not attend, you really missed a great event. Please, you know, keep in touch with WVKO and look for events during the course of the year, and please attend them because we like it when you do.
Yeah.
Did you see that the president is up 4 points? In Ohio.
I saw five.
Five?
Yeah.
I'll take five.
Yeah.
Five five makes us not quite a lock for him, but it's pretty good.
No, I'm still cautiously optimistic. Well,
Obama for America is busing in 150 to 200 volunteers from New York, Washington, D.C., and a bunch of other places, I believe on Tuesday or Wednesday, for a final push. I know this because, you know, they wanted some assistance.
Say
that again?
Some are here now in Cleveland. They had students come in from Howard University.
Why don't you introduce our
This is Bobby. Voice. Say hello.
This is Jimmy Beal.
Jimmy Beal. See, here's the problem. Sometimes Chris tells me things, but I don't listen. Jimmy Beal, who works to make safe spaces for at-risk youth throughout the city of Columbus, mostly in schools, correct?
That's correct. I work with teachers and staff, with students themselves, in creating safe spaces for all students. The assumption being that if we can create the safe space for our most marginalized youth, our LGBT youth who are at high risk in a number of areas, then we have spaces that are safe and empowering, welcoming for all students.
Awesome. Do you find that that schools are pretty cooperative when it comes to this type of thing?
I think that it varies a little bit from place to place and geographic location, and there are a number of dynamics, but the tide is turning, and if we can get elected officials who support GLBT equality, it's going to make it much easier.
Oh, no. Why would they do that? Why would they treat us like humans? I'm not ready for it yet.
So a shout out to those who are coming in to do some work for Obama in the great state of Ohio.
Yeah, then I mean they are this is such an important state for them, obviously. But now they're saying that the new battleground is Northern Virginia, which is it's an interesting place to canvass. Speaking from personal experience, because you get a lot of you get a lot of different types of people, given the fact that D.C. is such an interesting mix. There's a lot of affluence, and then there's quite
Northern Virginia is not exactly the old South.
No, it is not. It is absolutely not. And actually, that's where my family's from, Alexandria.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is interesting. But but we're going to have 150 to 200 Obama volunteers, and we are looking for more Obama for America volunteers. And actually, Colin Burton, who used to run the LGBT caucus for the Ohio Democratic Party, is one of the people who's been sent back from D.C. to Columbus to run things. And I think we're going to try and talk to him next weekend. That is my understanding. So, Jimmy, let's talk a little bit more about what you do and what your how can people help do this? How can the average person help participate in this?
That's a great question. Let me start with why I do this, and that has a lot to do with who's at risk and what the risk factors are. If we look at a lot of the research that's out there, our LGBT youth are at risk for dropping out of school. A lot of them don't feel connected to school, so they're at risk for dropping out. They have, on average, lower grade point averages. They're less likely to go to college. And all of that has to do with their feeling of connection or, in this case, alienation in school. If anybody would walk into a school and start looking for signs that LGBT youth were welcome there, that LGBT families were welcome, they would find most signs noticeably absent from the front door all the way back into classrooms. We don't see our youth, our LGBT youth represented with examples in curriculum. We don't see role models on the walls or visibly noticeable in a lot of the school buildings. We have some very brave LGBT teachers who are visible as role models, but by and large, they're non-existent. So a lot of our staff don't feel like they belong in the environment and as a result feel very alienated and tend to just disengage themselves from school, putting them at huge risk academically.
So what qualifies as a safe space? I mean, what does how what are the criteria to create a safe space, I guess, is my question.
I think it's if we look at what safe spaces are for all kids, we can really look at what we need to have for our LGBT kids. For example, if we talk about women, the tide has changed, well, somewhat. It depends on which presidential candidate you ask and which wife you include in that discussion. But the tide has changed for a lot of women. And as a result, women's accomplishments are celebrated in schools. You see women role models, women leaders, women VIPs. They're in books, textbooks. Their accomplishments are highlighted in textbooks. You see their pictures as posters on the walls. That is not true with our GLBT kids. You don't read textbooks, for example, for the most part, and find GLBT accomplished people listed in there anywhere. In fact, there are some pretty important VIPs throughout history who should be highlighted. Their accomplishments should be highlighted, and yet they're noticeably absent. And the fact that they're GLBT. You'll read about those people, but it will never be brought up that they're gay or bisexual or trans in the discussion. So that makes for a very unwelcoming space. And as a result, opens the door for a lot of hostility. 90% of our GLBT kids hear homophobic remarks on a daily basis where people don't intervene. Oftentimes because they don't know what to say and don't know how to intervene. And that's where what I do becomes very important, even to have discussions on how do we intervene when we hear homophobic remarks, when we see something that's obviously hostile towards the GLBT community. How do we intervene in that and do so in a positive way?
What are some of the methods that you guys use to intervene, and how do you do the training for both the teachers and for students to kind of create a better holistic safe environment?
One of the things we're doing with regard to students is trying to create GSAs in the schools. I just worked with United Way's Pride Leadership Council on creating a DVD that could be given to schools, put into staff members' hands on creating GSAs within the schools. Research indicates that if there is a GSA, even if all GLBT kids don't attend it, for whatever reason, conflicts because they're in sports and the GSA falls on the same day, just having a GSA in a school creates a safer environment for all students, but especially GLBT students. Knowing that there are advocates there, knowing that there is a place to go to, people to talk to, and connection for them. So we're encouraging students to start GSAs in their schools. We put that DVD out that has more information on the safe space that's created. With regard to staff, it's a little bit different. We try to do staff trainings, workshops, put resources in their hands. I have a little foldable card, for example, that when you pull it out says very, very clearly, here are four different strategies you can use to intervene. Working with people until they're comfortable, until it becomes a part of who they are so that they can do it regularly, really helps.
What are those four easy steps?
Well, for example, if someone makes a homophobic comment and another student steps up and says, you know, you shouldn't say that, echoing them, echoing what they've done, saying, that's great, I really appreciate that you stood up, you're absolutely right, those words are very hurtful, is one strategy. Another is to question, why is it that you're saying that? What do you mean when you say that? Because it really makes them think about, they're using these words as second nature. It makes them stop and think about, why are we using it and who are we hurting when we do? To educate, do you know where that word came from? Do you know the origin around it? Do you know how many students have died as a result of? So that kind of stuff is another approach. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
So those are just a few of the ones that we use. But educating teachers and kind of empowering them, the more information people have with regard to how to intervene, who's at risk, how can I connect with them, the better they are able to do that in their schools.
Yeah, I know on the education or...
By the way, welcome to the program, Chris.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, there was a problem at the McDonald's on Grant Street as I was getting everyone treats.
You didn't get me any treats.
But you didn't call me desperately.
No, thank you.
You can have a hash brown.
No, thanks.
So I know... like my sister and stuff and my brother-in-law. I mean, everyone uses gay. Like, that's gay. That's so gay. Da da da. And I've had to, you know, really
smack them down.
Them. Yeah, and be like, you know, and they always get defensive first. Like da da da. And I'm like, well, no. But until kids stop dying or get bullied in school, or you know, till the suicide rate drops, you can't be using that.
And you bring up an interesting point that. Prejudice and discrimination becomes more hostile and stronger and more pervasive until what we've done is moved from that's so gay to very violent acts. It's progressive. So stopping it at that very low level is much easier and much more effective than when it balloons out of control and we have, you know, people being bullied regularly, violently, and kids committing suicide.
How do you think our school system rates for handling these kind of problems?
I think.
I mean, both in dealing with the different GSAs and stuff. I mean, not only Columbus Public, but the charter schools and that kind of stuff.
I think we're all moving in the right direction. I really do. I think we've made some great headway last year. We had students within Columbus City Schools who put on a Teens for Tolerance Fest. It was a 3-day festival designed to increase conversation, increase awareness, educate people with regard to gender issues and isms, race issues and isms, and GLBT issues and isms, along with culture. So, our students are taking the lead. Today, for example, our students have sponsored an LGBT college fair at OSU. It will be held in the Multicultural Center from 2 to 5. They've brought in guest speakers to talk to students about how can you be yourself and go to college. Because, as I mentioned before, a lot of LGBT students don't go to college. Their experience in school wasn't good, so they stop right there.
Is that today?
That is today.
All right, and Jimmy, we do have a caller, I think, perhaps has a question for you. Brandon, are you with us?
Oh, I don't have a question for Jimmy. Jimmy is one of my colleagues. I promised her that I was going to call in today.
Thank you, Brandon. Brandon.
Hello, Chad. How are you?
Excellent. Very, very
good. Everybody loves Chad.
I'm a delight.
Brandon and I do a lot of teacher training and staff development together. He works at the elementary level. Most of my work has been at middle and high. So together we have a more comprehensive view.
That is true.
What all kind of work have you, or what do you see as the evolution going on in the schools right now for tolerance?
I think that the evolution for tolerance in Columbus City Schools, we are very blessed to have a very opening and affirming district, and that goes from the head down. But there still is a lot of educators that there's still a lot of education that needs to be given to our educators, especially amongst our administration within our schools. And I think that they get hit, Jimmy, the hardest when we're talking about dealing with issues with bullying and the name-calling. And I know that working at the elementary school level, the word saying, oh, my God, that's so gay, is something that's not tolerated in my room. They don't really understand what the whole thing of gay really means at such a young age, maybe to the third or maybe about fourth or fifth grade. But when it's said, sometimes teachers, they just brush that off. They're children and, you know, let children be children, but those children yet become adults and younger children that sometimes bullies other children when they do see gay children in, within their school and their community. I'm fortunate to have probably my first same-gender parents that are in the school, so it was interesting to see how they work together. They work very well with our kids, and one staff member whispered to me, she said, oh, my God, Mr. Chapman, she said, I think that parent has two moms. And I said, yes, she does have two loving moms.
Hey, if you can hold on for a little bit, we need to take a break, and we'll be right back with more Radio Outlook right after these messages.
Who knows what outrageous thing they might say next? Radio Outlook continues right after these messages.
An important message from Sherrod Brown to progressive voters across Ohio.
I'm Sherrod Brown, and I need your help. I've been fighting for the middle class my whole career, but I've never seen anything like this. An all-out assault on the rights of workers, the rights of women, even the right to vote. And here in Ohio, corporate-backed special interests have spent $30 million in attack ads trying to drive me out of the U.S. Senate. We can't let them get away with it. If you care as deeply as I do about progressive values, I need you to work as hard as you can between now and November 6th. First, vote. You can do it today, then make sure everyone you know votes too. If you want to do more, visit me at SherrodBrown.com to find out how. Our middle class has never needed progressives to stand up more than right now. I approve this message because I hope you'll help me answer the call.
Paid for by Friends of Sherrod Brown.
I'm Tim Morris. Join me this Sunday night on the Vinyl Vault for our Halloween special. Join us as we celebrate the macabre, the strange, the bizarre, and downright silly. It's Creepy Classics on the Vinyl Vault this Sunday night, 9 to midnight, on the new 1580s Vinyl Vault.
You gotta fight for your right to run.
If you like to party, and who doesn't, you know that sometimes stuff happens. Stuff like assaults, drugs, DUIs. Connie Goodell Newton understands. She's not here to judge anyone, just to provide the best legal representation possible. Facing criminal charges? Connie takes very special care handling her criminal cases and works hard to ensure that her clients receive the very best results possible. Do you have a record? Connie is very familiar with the new expanded expungement statute. Got warrants? Connie may be able to keep you out of jail. Connie also handles domestic relations, mediation, and bankruptcy cases. Call Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783. Connie welcomes clients from diverse communities, GLBT, African-American, activists, students, and more. So party on. Just remember, if you get just one phone call, take it to Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783.
This is Connie Goodell Newton, and I will fight for your right to party.
If you are in need of design and printing services, there are plenty of places you can go. In fact, there are about 200 in the Columbus area alone. But of course, they're not all the same. Our Design and Printing is a local, independently owned company that specializes in professional graphics design. And they offer a full range of printing services. Full color printing, posters, business cards, flyers, postcards, invoices, carbonless forms, letterhead, and envelopes. You can count on Our Design and Printing for fast turnaround and reasonable prices. Just off High Street in the Short North at 30 East 4th Avenue, across from the post office. And Our Design and Printing has plenty of convenient free parking, too. Call Julie or Dave at 299-1420, that's 299-1420, for your local, independently owned progressive graphics design and printing company, Our Design and Printing. Visit them online at rdesignandprinting.com, that's the letter R, designandprinting.com.
It's that time of year when all the creepies, ghoulies, and ghosties start coming out at night, and you get invited to a costume party. So whether you plan on rolling as a zombie or some other scary creature of the night, your one-stop shopping destination is Costume Holiday House. It's at 851 Bethel Road, near Olentangy River Road. Costume Holiday House is locally owned and open year-round for all your costuming needs. Planning on a costumed political event? Costume Holiday House has Barack Obama and Mitt Romney masks. Going to a party with your posse? Why not show up as the Avengers? Costume Holiday House has all the latest superhero costumes. See their entire inventory at CostumeHolidayHouse.com. Or call them at 451-0772 to reserve your costume now. Costume Holiday House, 851 Bethel Road. Call 451-0772.
He may be gay, but the talk is straight. Back now to Chris Hayes and Radio Outlook.
And we're back with more great local Bible and talk. That's GLBT Radio right here in the heart of Central Ohio. I'm Chris Hayes.
I'm Chad Fry, and wonders never cease.
No, they don't. And still in the studio.
I'm still Snarky Peterson.
Snark. We have Jimmy Beal, who works a lot with GSAs and creating safe spaces in schools. And I believe Brandon is still on the line.
I am. Yep. I am still on the line, yes.
Great greetings, Brandon.
Yeah, good greetings to you, too.
So, Jimmy, where did we leave off?
One of the things that Brandon and I do is conduct a lot of teacher trainings. And as part of that, we often bring in students to have students talk to teachers about their experiences when they were in high school. We have a panel of college students, for example, to share their experiences in high school and middle school and elementary school because, as Brandon brought up, even though students may not really understand the whole notion of sexual orientation until their third or fourth grade, when they're that young, they still, a lot of GLBT kids recognize that they're different. Gender, for example, students are aware of gender at around age two. They start to become enculturated in what the expectations are with regard to boys and girls, and they often will feel like they don't fit that. Little boys are supposed to play with trucks and be firemen. Little girls are supposed to want to cook and be ballerinas. And a lot of kids don't fit that, which is the problem with Mrs. Romney. She's not getting that piece. But a lot of our kids don't feel that, and they recognize it at a very young age. So it's really important that even staff of elementary schools understand development of kids and how they may give you signs at that very young age that they don't feel like everybody else does, so that you can encourage their unique identity and development and growth and not stymie that and alienate them in the process.
What kind of indicators do young children tend to give? I mean, besides maybe a boy wanting to play with dolls. But.
That's a good indicator, though. What we have to do, rather than saying kids need to fit in this particular category, is just let kids be who they are. If they want to play with dolls today, if they want to play with trucks tomorrow, that whole process of understanding the world is really healthy, and we just need to encourage their growth and development.
Jimmy, I think that it's very important, especially that what I fight for most at the elementary school level, that we expose the kids to all different types of cultures and backgrounds. As much as possible, I try to have books where there's books talking about two moms, two dads in there. We talked about bullying the other day and how bullying affects us and why I was wearing purple the other day. And I think that it's important that even at the young ages, at kindergarten, that we expose the children to knowing that the world is different. And they
Absolutely.
Have some place in this world, and that we provide a safe environment for them to be whatever they want to be within our school.
And that's absolutely right. And one of the things that high school students have said is, which is what Brandon is attesting to, the high school students have said, name us. That's one of the most important pieces. For example, at the beginning of the year, when staff members talk about all students are welcome here, this classroom is for everyone, it's not enough to say that. The GLBT kids often tell us that what they're feeling is, yeah, it's safe for everyone, but if you knew who I really was, it wouldn't be safe for me.
Right.
So actually naming people and saying, all kids, our Asian American kids, our African American kids, our GLBT kids, everyone is welcome in this room. And by delineating people, what you do is send the message to the kids who are quiet and reserved and concerned that they may not be included in that all.
Jimmy, and I think that one thing that we have to realize as teachers, educators, is that we bring to the classroom a lot of times all of our own personal bias and our own personal egos. And when we don't check those at the door, and when we don't realize that our ignorance, that there is education to replace that, that often sometimes becomes a problem. When we do staff development together, and even the last one that we did at OSU, it was shocking to see how many other teachers did not know how to react in those situation cards that we were presenting there.
Yes.
So I think that we have to realize that we are too human, and sometimes that we do have our own personal bias. We try to say that sometimes that we don't have it, but there are some things that we have to check at the door and get more education about and put our egos at the door.
That's right. One of the pieces that Brandon and I really focus on are the legal mandates. We have legal mandates as public school teachers to provide safe spaces for all students and not let those personal opinions and biases get in the way of that. We are legally mandated to provide equitable and similar education, safe education, equitable education for all students. What that means is we can't just choose who we will highlight as far as visibility goes. All students, all orientations, all genders, all races, all of that becomes a place where we need to what we need to include in our curriculum, what we need to make sure is visible on our walls, welcoming our GLBT parents. Oftentimes they say that they don't feel welcome when they walk in the doors. So, pulling together people and building a community that really is safe for all students, that's not just safe, but empowering.
Right.
It isn't just welcoming, but we appreciate and value. That's really the goal.
Yeah, and that's the real difference. I think it's really easy to say, hey, yeah, it's fine that gay people are here, but to celebrate and understand, what that means is sort of that will change the problem.
Absolutely.
That's the root of the problem, really, is that people don't value it. So,
well, that's why I don't like the word tolerance, just because it
right. I can tolerate the dentist.
Right. Right. Yes, exactly.
Or root canals. Right. Right. Absolutely.
And I think kids take cues from their teachers where they feel safe, too, between how the teachers react to different students and how, you know, they might not say things, but if the teacher's pet is the one bullying people in that classroom, you're not going to feel safe when that kid's doing it.
Absolutely. And Brandon's works in an environment where we see this regularly. If a kid falls down, the first thing they do, they don't usually cry. The first thing they do is look at the adults.
Yeah.
They do.
To find out, am I really hurt? Should I really cry? Am I okay? And we all, you know, we just say, you're great. Stand up, get up, go play, you know, brush it off. They're looking to the adults for cues. And that's really true about how to interact with people, about how to celebrate and welcome people. If we would listen to the kids when they're very young, oftentimes they have the most healthy outlook with regard to differences, which is it doesn't matter. They don't see that.
Jimmy, I think it's very important for you to share with them the statistics that you shared with the students at COS regarding bullying and the age where children are attempting or thinking about suicide and then the age that they are attempting suicide. I thought that those statistics were very crucial, and it has been embedded in my mind since last year since we were together.
The statistics he's referencing were from, and if you're interested in more information, there's an organization called the Family Acceptance Project out of California. And what they looked at was if kids feel accepted by their own families, how at risk are they versus kids who are rejected by their own families? And the nice thing about schools is we can kind of step in as family members. So if a student is rejected by their own family but finds a mentor in a teacher or staff member, that really kind of eliminates some of those at-risk factors. But what they found was, we talk about people who are committing suicide, students who are committing suicide at ages 11 and 12. They're often thinking about that at age 9. Now, that's like fourth grade and third grade. And that speaks to what Brandon is saying, where kids are saying these things even early on. So what's the message? I'm not liked. I'm hated. I'm despised. Because why? Everybody uses my name, my identity, when they, you know, are frustrated or mad or something's awful. So it really sends a very powerful message to our kids at a very young age. And suicide is the leading cause of death among GLBT kids. The leading cause. 90% of our GLBT kids hear homophobic and anti-gay remarks throughout a school day. Every day. That's huge.
That is huge.
40% of homeless kids self-identify as GLBT. That speaks to being rejected by families.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the issue of GLBT homelessness is one of the biggest issues in our community. Actually, and the one that I would say goes the most unaddressed. I mean, there isn't a lot happening to prevent that. And, I mean, do you think that creating safe spaces can help to reduce those numbers?
Oh, absolutely. Because when kids... I want to give a shout-out to Mary Jane Quick, who is the Project Connect liaison for Columbus City Schools. And in this regard, we are very progressive. Mary Jane Quick works with our homeless youth, a lot of whom identify as LGBT. And we've had a lot of conversations about what we can do as a community to build a safety net underneath our students, because we really don't have a place for homeless youth in our community, or I should say we didn't. The other shout-out goes to Marla Llewellyn, who started the Family Fellowship House, Fellowship Family House. I'm going to get it backwards every time. Anyway, and it's her focus are these LGBT homeless youth who really have no resources and no safety net underneath them. But building safe spaces means kids are with us 8 hours a day, sometimes longer, in after-school programs, in before-school programs, on weekends when we have special events. So having safe environments where they want to be, that's where they are most of the time anyway. It's going to really address a lot of their need.
Jimmy, and I think that is one thing that being living in Columbus, that it's important that we as a community, we as older gay persons, that we give back to the community. They need to see the role models of people like you, I, Chad, and you know, to see to say, hey, you know, that one day that I can become a publisher of my own magazine and make an impact within Columbus, or if I can become a resource counselor, or if I can become a teacher. They need to see that. They need to see that there is people that are there that are supporting them. One thing that I do know, that as men, as we go through, as when we are hurt as young men or as little boys, we become men who are very permissionless. We can't have relationships, and we never bond because we still have that hurt there. So it's very important, like you said, that empowerment piece. And a lot of that responsibility, it falls on us. It falls on us as a community to embrace our children and tell them that it is okay and that you can be whatever you want to be in this country.
How do the schools handle gender identity, and what kind of numbers are we seeing these days? Do we see a lot of transgender kids coming up now?
I think schools in general, and I'm not speaking with regard to any specific district, but I work with a lot of districts even and around the Columbus area, and I think as schools we're very uneducated with regard to gender identity. There's a lot of confusion. Brandon and I find this when we do teacher trainings around gender identity and sexual orientation. What we try to do is to make some distinctions around those things. But if we create spaces, it's just like Brandon said, check our own bias at the door, open our minds to all students and let them be who they are. If we create spaces where we're not trying to define people's behavior around expectations, all kids will really flourish. But the problem is, as soon as we walk in, we have these expectations around how boys should act or girls should act, or what a boy is or what a girl is. And as soon as we start imparting that knowledge, we create really hostile climates for kids.
Right.
I wanted to speak to a little bit, and I don't know how soon we have to go to a break, but I really wanted to speak to a bit regarding what different communities of people could do, different populations, community members, parents, students, staff. How can we come together and address this from our vantage point? Because community members have a unique position, and parents have a unique position versus a staff member or student with regard to affecting change in our schools. So whenever we...
Go right ahead.
Because it really takes all of us to affect that kind of change. Brandon talked about the two moms. One of the things that we're doing is trying to create, with the help of Dwan Cannon, because it's really about partnering together with other people.
Oh, yeah.
Dwan Cannon is the co-president of PFLAG, and actually will be one of the speakers at the LGBTQ College Fair today at OSU. She's there to talk to parents about how they can assist their GLBT students when it comes to picking colleges that are empowering, that encourage their perspective and their unique gifts and talents. We are working with her to try to create a community of LGBT parents to provide support for students. That even though they're students may not be LGBT, they still know what that's like to grow up and be in school as an LGBT person. So they can provide a safety net and a voice, an advocacy voice for our LGBT students. So getting them together, for them to talk to, and allies. We need our allies. So for allies to talk to teachers, as parents, to talk to them about the need for safe and inclusive spaces. As community members, as voters, as constituents, we can talk to our school boards about having policies that are inclusive. Columbus City Schools, shout out to them, has non-discrimination policies that include sexual orientation, gender, and gender identity. That's important. As districts around us look to creating those policies, community members become instrumental. Business partners become instrumental. They become the role models for safe and inclusive policies. Having students, and students oftentimes are the key, because GSA start with students. So as students get together and decide they want to have a GSA, then they can start that process by finding an advisor, by checking out GLSEN's website for resources on actually how to start a GSA. Any staff member can be an advisor. Staff members can also get on their negotiating team if they have a union, so that they bring that voice into negotiation process. There's a lot that different constituents can do that really together affect a huge change.
And Jimmy, don't forget to give a shout out to CEA. They have been very supportive and very instrumental in helping this move to become very smooth within Columbus City Schools.
Absolutely. Our president, Rhonda Johnson, had a vision for including all people long before it was popular. And that has been critical. And when they put together a negotiating team, they looked for those GLBT voices to represent populations that ordinarily would be invisible or marginalized. So absolutely, it takes people with vision, and it takes resolve and commitment, because you're going to get pushback. And
right. I mean, now, anytime you have someone's children involved, parents tend to get a little prickly, regardless of the issue, it seems.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And before, you said we talked about, having visibility within textbooks or learning curriculums and all that. What kind of pressure does inclusive school systems put on publishers to include those facts before they buy their books?
That's great. And I think technology is changing a lot of that. Mm-hmm. You know, the nature of textbooks even is changing, because we have Wikipedia and online resources that open up the world. So it really does put some pressure on them. And in the past, publishers have altered textbooks, altered the truth about people's lives, just to make them sellable. And that's not okay anymore. There's actually a national movement to create an inclusive curriculum that would involve making sure there's visibility and voice for all kinds of populations, including GLBT, who are currently marginalized or left out entirely.
Okay. We'll get back with more of that right after these messages from our sponsors. You're listening to Radio Outlook.
It's so gay. And proudly so. But the Radio Outlook crew doesn't just talk about LGBT issues. Stay tuned for another hot topic coming up after this short break.
The all-new Days Inn Airport location is now open at 750 Stelzer Road. Their dazzling atrium features an indoor pool, jacuzzi, authentic Mexican restaurant with a full bar, and live entertainment on weekends. They have free Wi-Fi, a business center, a workout room, complimentary continental breakfast, and banquet and reception facilities for up to 275 people. They feature clean, spacious rooms at mid-scale prices. For room specials, visit daysinn.com or call 238-9010. Brand new and open right now, Days Inn Airport, 750 Stelzer Road.
Do you get anxious just thinking about going to the dentist? The Gentle Dentist in Worthington understands. Founded by Dr. Bill Coleman, the Gentle Dentist is dedicated to the care of the apprehensive dental patient and is committed to providing the highest quality dental care in a relaxed and enjoyable environment. The Gentle Dentist offers cable TV, DVD players, and massage chairs in every treatment room. They use the latest technology to give you that beautiful smile you deserve. including Invisalign, the virtually invisible way to straighten your teeth, the highest quality dental care, and a relaxed and enjoyable environment. The Gentle Dentist, voted the number one dental office in Central Ohio by Columbus Parents Magazine, 2 years in a row. Visit them in Worthington, just south of 270. Call today, 614-431-3311, or visit them online at ColemanDental.com. That's ColemanDental.com. Call today, 614-431-3311. The Gentle Dentist. Exceptional service, remarkably gentle.
You gotta fight for your right to run.
If you like to party, and who doesn't, you know that sometimes stuff happens. Stuff like assaults, drugs, DUIs. Connie Goodell Newton understands. She's not here to judge anyone, just to provide the best legal representation possible. Facing criminal charges? Connie takes very special care handling her criminal cases and works hard to ensure that her clients receive the very best results possible. Do you have a record? Connie is very familiar with the new expanded expungement statute. Got warrants? Connie may be able to keep you out of jail. Connie also handles domestic relations, mediation, and bankruptcy cases. Call Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783. Connie welcomes clients from diverse communities, GLBT, African-American, activists, students, and more. So party on. Just remember, if you get just one phone call, take it to Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783.
This is Connie Goodell Newton, and I will fight for your right to party.
I'm Tim Morris. Join me this Sunday night on the Vinyl Vault for our Halloween special. Join us as we celebrate the macabre, the strange, the bizarre, and downright silly. It's Creepy Classics on the Vinyl Vault this Sunday night, 9 to midnight, on the new 1580s Vinyl Vault.
He may be gay, but the talk is straight. Back now to Chris Hayes and Radio Outlook.
And do you hear what's good? Are you the phone's on?
Phone.
Oh, you don't have your headphones on. That's why you didn't hear that.
That was the phone.
That was the phone. Hang up that phone.
You want me to hang it up?
Yeah. Just hang that up. Brandon came in the studio. Now he's gone.
I like it.
You're listening to Radio Outlook.
That's Chris Hayes.
And that's Chad Fry.
And together we are weirdos.
We're some sort of gay superhero team.
I don't know
something.
About that. No, I don't think superheroes. I don't think that's
the
apt.
Gay
Caballero. And Jimmy Beal is still in the studio with us, promoting safe spaces in schools and protecting our gay youth in our school systems.
Can you make me a safe space at the office?
There are a lot of companies that could use that. There's no question.
Outlook
although
is not
we have some real leaders in the industry, and we can look to them for example.
Yeah, exactly.
I do want to put while we have just a minute, the information with regard to that national curriculum. A symposium is going to be held in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The person to contact is at Stonewall National Museum and Archives, which is www.stonewallnationalmuseum.org. The president is Mr. Nicely, Brian Nicely, K-N-I-C-E-L-Y. It was his idea, this germinated several years ago, to have a national curriculum that is inclusive. So they have started the grant writing process and having some symposiums and inviting educators and parents and students together to put their ideas out there. So that's a great work. Get in touch with them. And the other email I want to put out there, if anybody has questions, needs resources, wants to connect with people to come in. Sometimes having someone come into the school is better received and a better approach than trying to speak to people that you live and work with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Students who are interested in starting GSAs and need resources, I want to give another email address. Send us an email. We'll get information into your hands. It's lgbtqdiversity@gmail.com.
Well, it's just too bad that you aren't very passionate about this subject.
I know.
it would be nice if somebody
would. Ask my family.
It would just be so nice if someone would stand up and do something for these kids. You know, it's just.
My family said if they have to hear one more thing.
Yeah. Now, we participated in the GSA video, but I don't know if we made the cut.
We definitely sent it in, but I don't think we made the cut. We were a little goofy. We did a group one.
Actually, yeah. That video, that DVD has stories on it. It has like a 30-second promo, you know, that you can just use as a trailer and. A trailer to a two-minute video, and then it has the two-minute video, and then it has everybody's stories. So it does have.
So we made the cut, you're saying?
Yes, it's on there.
We were pretty ridiculous.
They've been pressed.
Matthew, yeah, I saw Matt Dyer, who worked on the project,
right.
And he was like, he just gave me, he was like, you guys. He's like, I thought it was funny. Everyone was
I know Chris is in there, yeah. Sitting at his desk. I saw him.
Yep. Oh, good. Well, here we are.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I saw him. So, yes, and putting that into people's hands. If they have, if they're interested in that, to get in touch with United Way or lgbtqdiversity@gmail.com, and we'll get that information out to people.
When I wanted to do mine and just kind of lounging on a couch sideways, saying, hello, I'm Chad Fry, and boy, GSAs are so important. That wouldn't have been creepy.
Look at all these straight people serving me now.
you see what happens? This is a GSA. These people are my employees.
What does it take to start a GSA? I mean, what kind of help?
Black magic and
courage.
Time. Courage.
Unfortunately, well, courage.
Well, yeah.
For students, they have the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the equal access case that students have access to clubs and all clubs have access to the school. So if they have any clubs or activities going on, then a GSA has to be allowed. They have a legal right. So it just takes courage because sometimes it's going to fall into place and you're going to connect with other students and finding an advisor really is, you know, that's the other piece. And it doesn't, straight allies are wonderful. A lot of our GSA advisors are straight allies. So just finding someone who embraces all people, you've got a great advisor right there. Talk to the advisor, and then, you know, it's just a matter of getting kids together on a regular basis and putting together some activities, maybe some service projects, having some fun. But really, that connection is what keeps kids in school.
Yeah. Is there, like, formal paperwork for clubs? I don't know. I don't remember
each
how
each school
club
is different.
Works.
Each district is different. Find out from your school what do you have to do to be recognized as a formal club. They'll give you the paperwork, and if you run into any pushback, that's where an advisor comes in. That's where, you know, you can look at other student groups because there's a legal mandate.
How was Wellington, Jen?
You know, Wellington was pretty good. I mean, it's been a while since I've been there, but I've been active in, I'm on their alumni board, so I've been active in trying to make sure that we promote a culture of, inclusive thought. And it actually works out pretty well. You know, being gay at Wellington was not difficult. I wasn't out, but there were a couple of people who were. And now it's...
For the 1920s, that was pretty
cool. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a flapper, which just means that I drink a lot and I sleep a lot. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No,
you
no.
Like fringe, like no one's business.
Wellington is really good because the school sort of its intention is to be open armed, and you know, like there, it's not just about creating people who are educated. It's also about creating a culture. And it's at one point, you know, one of the headmasters said, either we're going to live the culture that we've developed or we're hypocrites. So, I mean, it's great there.
Well, and I think what you're saying is really true. We're starting to see businesses, organizations, schools open up, become more accepting, more embracing, more empowering, having elected officials who can affect those policy changes that provides some legal protection is going to be critical. So right. That's my plug to get out and vote or vote early.
Yeah. Vote early and often.
and get your neighbors and friends and family members to do the same. But I really think that we're seeing the tide turn so that there are more and more people who are visible. There are more and more courageous people. There's media that really helps open up the world of possibility, technology, so we can access information like we never have been able to before. And all of that together provides the resources we need to step out and make some change.
Awesome. Well, Jimmy, thanks so much for being with us.
And I just want to do one note. If you do not have or your kids do not have a safe space at school, Kaleidoscope Youth Center is a great place for them to go after school. And if you know any LGBT teens that are homeless or are in a bad family situation, Huckleberry House is also a great resource. They'll take you in or they always try to get. We've had both everyone on the show so far. So.
Columbus City Schools, get in touch with Mary Jane Quick at Project Connect. Also, Marla Fluellen with the Family Fellowship House.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is Highball. Don't forget to go. And thank you so much. You've been listening to Radio Outlook.
See, it really doesn't matter which team you play on. Team Radio Outlook has lively discussion for everyone. So join us again next Saturday. And the chat continues online when you like Radio Outlook on Facebook and follow us at Radio Outlook on Twitter.
Your one true voice of reason in Central Ohio. AM 1580, WVKO, Columbus.
An important message from Sherrod Brown to progressive voters across Ohio.
I'm Sherrod Brown, and I need your help. I've been fighting for the middle class my whole career, but I've never seen anything like this. An all-out assault on the rights of workers, the rights of women, even the right to vote. And here in Ohio, corporate-backed special interests have spent $30 million of attack ads trying to drive me out of the U.S. Senate. We can't let them get away with it. If you care as deeply as I do about progressive values, I need you to work as hard as you can between now and November 6th. First, vote.